We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hello, SEO 101 listeners. Webmasterradio.fm introduces over 101 reasons to love your smartphone even more. Introducing the Webmasterradio.fm mobile app, now available in the iTunes Store or on Google Play. Listen to SEO 101 live every Monday or download thousands of past episodes or download shows like SEO Rockstars, Search Pulse, The Daily Search Cast, and more. Download the WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app for iTunes and Google Play now.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. And I'd like to start by apologizing to our listeners for taking 2 whole weeks off there of our shows. It wasn't planned. It just kind of happened. In fact, this Monday we were going to do it, but both John and I were on the road. So we could have kind of fudged it, but we didn't want to waste your time.
With neither one of us sitting in front of computers would have made it hard. If one of us had a computer, we probably could have gotten done with it, got it through it.
Yeah, it's just been, it's summertime. You know, we're both, I was out with family finally on an actual trip on the long weekend, which was fun and both exhausting and fun. Yeah. But
I was on vacation playing music with my high school garage band. So
there you go.
Of 30 years ago.
So I hope you forgive us. I know it's a sporadic show on most days. So we do try to get that out of, to stop doing that. But anyway, let's get to the show. So one thing we'd had planned to talk about last week was this article, the situation that we ran into here at Stepforth, where we had an ex-client come back to us and ask us to help him because he'd just gotten a link penalty. Now,
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I apologize.
Well, I know he's going to be listening to this. So, first of all, whatever I say here, we are using the most confidentiality possible. He's asked that we don't mention even the company he's working with or any hints whatsoever. And that's cool. What we really wanted to do is get the word out about his situation so that others won't fall into it because it's happening too often. It's insane. I get speechless if I don't watch out here. So, essentially, he went with a cheaper link builder, and cheaper meaning about what had Scott figured out to be 8 cents or 10 cents per link.
Holy crap, is that cheap? Good links should cost right around $100 a piece.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, once you put on the labor and all the research and everything, there's a lot of work that goes into link building. If you're charging 8 cents, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what it worked out to because it was a $25, $27 a month. It was ridiculous. It was 10 cents per link. Yeah, that's where it was. And I helped Scott with his article, but anyway, and in there I mentioned how Eric Ward's link practices is a good example of what's good. But you know, though you pay premium for that, it's a lot of work and a lot of experience. Now, the article's on our site says cheap link building ends badly for business. And last we looked, we were in the top five for cheap link building, which I'm very happy about in Google because I want people to see this. I want them to get it before they hire a cheap link builder because they're out there. And what really pissed me off was hearing that when the client took his issues to this link builder, he essentially said, that he got a penalty. He said, oh, yeah, I expected that. Okay. And what are you supposed to do? Well, what we do is we recommend that you shut down your Google Webmaster Tools account so that Google no longer has access to your data.
Yeah, which was totally ridiculous.
Isn't that insane? And to add more incredulity to that, I'm incredulous, so I'm trying to say this word, but to add more to this, is when I did research and I found out who this person was that was doing the work, I did research, and he is so highly respected in the link building world, not our link building, where in this one forum, which is a very popular forum, I was just floored.
Well, can we step back to the part where he said, shut down your Webmaster Tools account? Because when you and I were talking about this earlier, your point was perfect. It's like the Webmaster Tools account, if you shut it down, it doesn't mean they stop collecting data about you. Having access to your Webmaster Tools means you can see the data they're collecting about you. They will continue to collect and they will not stop collecting data about you. Just because you shut down Webmaster Tools doesn't mean they're going to stop. It means you just can't see it anymore. And so that's just a ridiculous way to say, oh, well, this will solve the problem. No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it was, in fact, it's tried to think of a word I can use that's not completely litigious, but
disgusting,
irresponsible,
horrifying, irresponsible is a good one.
Yeah. Anyway,
a jackass thing to do.
Exactly.
I'll say all kinds of bad stuff about you. You could be as nice as you want, but this guy's a dick. And if he continues doing this to businesses, we should run him out of town or something. You know, this gives our entire industry a bad name and pisses me off.
Well, and what really pissed me off is Scott did a call. He tested them, and he called them up and he pretended to be a potential buyer. And I have the script that I'll show you sometime personally, but he asks these questions. He says, well, you know, I don't understand. Your prices are so cheap. I really want good quality links here. How is it possible that you do it? He says, oh, they're good. We've been doing this a long time. And he goes, well, but I need relevant links. Oh, no, these aren't relevant.
Yeah. Okay. Good quality non-relevant links is kind of like... you know, military intelligence. It's an oxymoron. And I can say that because I was in military.
That's what to say. So. then he followed up by saying, well, okay. But he says, well, we do a good job. This is good stuff. And he continued to tear it apart. And ultimately he said, no, you know what? If you really want high quality links, you should go elsewhere. And yet he's selling this stuff like hotcakes. Because people don't understand. And he says, you know, everyone should understand that there's a high risk of being penalized by using these tactics. Are you really putting that out first when you talk to people? I don't think you are. Yeah. Just shady as it gets. I just can't believe it. And this poor client is now in a really bad state. He's got this penalty. And we had to convince him over a bit of time, I think Scott did, that we were the people to trust. And I'm hoping that panned out, that he does believe that in the end, because he was, you know, backing up this person because I guess he'd done a really good sales job. And then we did a little research and we found that a lot of the links were adult links and that some of them were mentioning his business name in the bio of adult people surfing adult sites.
Wow.
And that was the end of it. That was, I know when our client really got mad at him. Anyway,
it's really interesting how some people who do link building don't take context in keep context in mind at all when you're linking. You know, relevancy is good, but context is important as well. So the adult thing is kind of one example of context, you know, just ignoring context. But I actually had an instance a while back where I was working with a university, major university. This major university had just recently had some very public problems with alcohol abuse on the campus, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, it was well known. It wasn't something that was hidden, and that was talked about as possibly something we can, you know, something that can be part of this link building campaign in the beginning. You know, talk about this issue. So the link building knew this was an issue. There was no question at all. They knew this was an issue, but they didn't go that direction. What instead they decided to do was do some infographics. Well, one of the infographics ended up talking about something, and I won't get into details, but it was basically how to pick up girls when they're drunk.
Oh,
and, you know, yeah, and it's like they didn't even think about the context of that based on the other issues this university is already having. So it would probably have been a great infographic, you know, for like collegehumor.com or some other site that's the kind of stuff they do if they made it funny, you know, that kind of thing. But for this university that had a specific problem, it was totally inappropriate. And many, many link builders, many, many content creators, even sometimes they're just doing it off the fly, don't take context into consideration. And it's something that should really, you know, relevancy is important, but context is important from the business standpoint of link building as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it's just renders you speechless, doesn't it? I just can't believe this stuff. But in the end, we've sent our client to David Harry. So hopefully, you know, David, he has the fun end of things. He likes doing forensic SEO, so I hope he enjoys this. It's going to be a tough one, though.
Yeah, and not too many better people you could send him to.
No, and that's just to give him a pitch, because he does a great job, is reliable-seo.com. He's quite prominent in the forensic SEO. So in other words, helping people out with penalties. So
he's actually been pretty active on our Google Plus community in the past few weeks. So it's good to have him in there giving advice and talking. So
yeah,
he's a good guy.
All right. So let's take a quick break, and then when we get back, let's talk about some of the crappy SEO pitches that are out there. It's a pretty funny one by Danny Sullivan.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is AuthorityLabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I signed us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
WebmasterRadio.fm presents Search Kingdom. We explore the world of search marketing, give in-depth analysis inside the important industry headlines and interview with the most important industry thought leaders. Search Kingdom, on demand inside the Search Engine Optimization Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Now, John, you wrote down the, I guess it was the title of the one that Danny Sullivan wrote, about Scott.
Yeah, I thought it went really well with the article that Scott had written on your site, you know, about, you know, it's amazing to me when I talk to small business owners and I talk to people, they get pitched SEO and PPC literally, and this is no exaggeration, literally 10 times a week someone is calling them up, pitching them on these products. There's a ton of companies out there that are doing this for, like, you know, there's companies like Yodel and YellowPages.com and Orange Soda, that they have these big machines of sales forces. They have highly, highly automated and customized, not even customized, I mean, the pitches are custom. I mean, they're very specific, you know, scripts that guys go through. They have big call centers, and they're just calling and calling and calling and selling this stuff and trying to sell SEO and social and PPC and all this. And so people are getting hit with these things every day, it seems like small businesses are. So if you're a business or you're an SEO, it's really interesting to read these articles about, you know, what's a bad pitch. Because if you're a business, you know, things to look out for. And if you're a real SEO trying to do real business, things to stay away from. So when you're talking about your business and services. And it was funny because it was Danny posted this pitch that he got through the mail. And it was a pretty short pitch, maybe three or four paragraphs, a very, you know, when you first read it, you think, this seemed like, you know, a real person writing a real pitch. And then he walked through the different warning signs on this pitch that it's obviously a spam. First thing, always, if it's unsolicited, if it just shows up in your email, you don't have any you know, qualms about just deleting it without even reading it. Just, you know, if it's not something you've asked to see or if you're looking for, the odds are that you're not going to want to read it anyway. But that's just common sense these days. If you're getting emails from somebody you don't know, don't even open them, because you're probably going to get something attached to your computer from that point on. And then the next warning sign that pulled out of this one, there was no company made. It was a very personal email. It was very conversational. You know, it was good from that perspective, but nowhere in the entire pitch did they mention the name of the company, which is a big warning sign. If they're not even going to talk about who they are, then either they're ashamed of who they are, they don't want you doing a research, or it's like a third-party agent trying to sell somebody else's services. That's warning sign number two. Warning sign number three is it didn't demonstrate that it did any research on his business, his company's. So without reading the whole thing, it's hard to just describe that one too much, but you know, there's definite ways to show that you've done a little bit of research before you reach out to a business and say, hey, we want to help you. And this one did not do any of that. This one, and then the fourth one, I thought was kind of funny. There's a fake address. So people will actually put, hey, you know, this is my name and address. You know, it seems like a real person because they've included an address. And you automatically kind of think, oh, this must be legit, because they wouldn't put an address if they weren't legit, because then we could get them. But it's a fake address. You go look up on Google, you go look up, you know, Google has no idea that it's there, or you look up the address and it's a mall or something like that. So that's something to look out for. And then the final, most obvious sign, actually not the final, but the most obvious sign was he got the same pitch, same exact pitch from four different people at four different addresses. So it was obviously automated. He was on multiple lists, apparently, and it was exactly the same thing. So that's a huge sign. If you get the same pitch from different people and it's exactly the same, you know, just trash them all. And then the last one was the disposable email. Gmail accounts, Hotmail accounts, Yahoo accounts, even Outlook.com now. If they're really what we call disposable email accounts, you can sign up, use it for a day, and then you never have to look at it back at it if it gets put on a list or something. So, You know, there's a lot of things to look for when either you're getting these pitches or if you're actually an SEO and you're trying to pitch, make sure.
If you've got a passion for pumpkin, you've got to get to Dunkin' and pick these up. Our new pumpkin cream cold brew. Smooth, bold cold brew topped with velvety pumpkin cream cold foam and our delicious pumpkin spice signature latte. Rich espresso topped with whipped cream, caramel drizzle, and cinnamon sugar. And our perfectly pumpkin donuts, munchkins treats, pumpkin muffins, and more. That's how we pumpkin at Dunkin'. Pick your pumpkin at Dunkin', like our new pumpkin cream cold brew, pumpkin spice signature latte, and our perfectly pumpkin treats. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply.
You don't do some of this stuff. You know, putting your address is a great idea. It shows that you're a real company, a real person. It helps build a little bit of trust. But use a real one. That's your actual address. You know, use your company's email address. Do some research. Tell people who you are. You know, and unsolicited is a little hard to get around if you're actually sending out cold, it's kind of like cold calls from back in the cold call day. but you can do things like on Ross's site, he has a newsletter sign up. People put their email address in. Once they ask for information from you, like a newsletter, then it's not really considered unsolicited as much because now they've asked to have contact with you, and now you can say, hey, thanks for signing up my newsletter. Here's what we can do for you, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It makes sense because it's getting harder and harder to get business using these kind of cold call methods in the SEO space. It really is, and it's because of this kind of crap that Danny's posting about, where people are just flooding, the market and flooding the business prospects with crappy stuff and crappy proposals and stupid phone calls. It's just harder and harder to break through all that noise to say, hey, look, we're a real company and we can really help you. It's really tough these days.
One of the ones we're getting slammed with, I think it stopped maybe about 3 weeks ago, but it was going on for a good 6 months, is every day. And as I say it, I get a phone call, but it's not them.
every day right now.
We get a call and it's from this automated thing. Would you like to be number one on Google? And it goes on and on. Just press one. You're like, no, don't. No one press one, please.
So wait a minute. If you want to be number one on Bing, do you press two? Because two is not number one.
SEO gamer, I love it.
Yes.
One thing that came to mind when you were mentioning about emails and such is, wouldn't it be a logical move? Again, this is going to be in the future, a fair bit in the future, but for Google to take what they are learning about people's email addresses using Google Plus and adding some credibility factor to the email that comes into you from people who have established authorships?
See, I think it's not just email. It's everywhere that you're identified. So when you establish authorship, you know when you do your Google profile, that little section at the bottom says, I'm a publisher on this site and this site and this site. In that whole profile view, it also allows you to connect all your social accounts. So when there's information coming from those social accounts and email addresses, I think all that will be tied into your authority through authorship at some point. Absolutely.
Well, yes, of course. We talked about that before. I'm just saying, like, in email, though, wouldn't it be awesome for incoming email to have some kind of, not a verified sign, that'd be cheesy, but some way to order, perhaps, the email by reliability or by quality, based on the person's exposure and profile online? I don't know. It'd be interesting.
I would think they already do some of that in the spam filtering, especially in like Gmail, because Gmail spam filtering is fairly good. I know the spam filtering inside of the communities in Google Plus is great. So I wouldn't be surprised if they already do a version of that in the spam filtering stuff. But I don't know whether or not it's tied into authorship, which is an interesting concept. So there's all kinds of ways you can go out and get. There's tons of lists of email addresses and domains. There's blacklist email lists everywhere, whitelist email addresses everywhere, and I'm sure they access a lot of those for their spam filtering. But you're right. I think the authorship and author rank type of things could easily enhance spam filtering.
Yet another reason people should be on Google Plus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a no-brainer. Well, let's take a quick break and we get back. We got some questions we're going to answer.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Ever wondered how you could have access to your own SEO expert, paid search specialist, or social media wizard? Looking for help with your affiliate, display media, or email marketing? Look no further than the folks at Fang Digital Marketing. Fang Digital specializes in both paid and organic search, social media, display, and mobile advertising solutions, and is staffed by industry veterans from Google, Yahoo, and one of the industry's most influential PPC experts. Fang Digital's award-winning staff stays on top of the latest in digital trends and offer tailored solutions so they can audit your progress and build a roadmap to your success. Learn more about their expanding range of full-service strategic marketing solutions at fangdigital.com. That's FANGdigital.com.
Are your online campaigns getting more clicks than conversions? Then you need to sign up for Conversion Conference East 2013, happening September 30th through October 2nd in Boston. If you want to start increasing revenue and stop wasting money, you ought to be at Conversion Conference East 2013. Discover why Conversion Conference was selected as one of 2013's must-attend conferences by Under 30 CEO, and why over 900 leading companies send their marketing teams, web designers, and executives. What's more, WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get a 10% discount on their pass. Simply register online at conversionconference.com with promo code WMFM or click through the Conversion Conference banners on the WebmasterRadio.fm website. Wouldn't it be nice to invest less and convert more? See you at Conversion Conference East 2013 in Boston, September 30th through October 2nd. Sign up with promo code WMFM for 10% off registration right now at conversionconference.com.
If you're constantly struggling to find more customers, revenue, or hours in the day, Infusionsoft can help you have the business you've always wanted. For over 10 years, Infusionsoft has been helping business owners, just like you, find the financial freedom and peace of mind you've been searching for.
I'm Scott Martineau, co-founder of Infusionsoft. If you're struggling to find more customers, more revenue, or more hours in the day, Infusionsoft is the proven solution you're looking for. Infusionsoft, the only all-in-one sales and marketing software created specifically for small businesses.
Learn more at www.infusionsoft.com/radio.
It's time to get fired up. Fired Up is a show that delivers both business impact and social importance. Our host, Gordon Rudell, will share ideas on how to create higher returns on your communication investments by engaging the people who matter most. Fired Up with Gordon Rudell, on demand anytime, inside the Culture and Business Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. This has been lots of good stuff today, I think. And there's tons more we've got here, but we wanted to start with some questions. And I guess we'll start at the bottom here, John, since we kind of went backwards. One of them is from Craig Moore. He says, here's a tricky duplicate content question.
I love those.
One of the sites I run sells fishing flies. I want to add a famous quote from the father of modern fly fishing, Sir Isaac Walton. I'm not even going to try this quote. what the hell. Quote unquote, oh, sir, doubt not that angling is an art. Is it not an art to deceive a trout with an artificial fly? Quote unquote.
Yeah.
The problem is that this quote has been used on other fishing sites. Will Google give me a penalty? How should I deal with quotes? And okay, first of all, no. I guess I could be more direct, but I mean, unless the entire page was just...
Like, no. Next question.
The page, if the page only had that quote, yes. But I mean, it's a component of a page, and it's a quote. I mean, you've got quotes around it. They can see that particular markup. It's pretty obvious what it is.
And unless you're trying to rank for that quote, I don't think you're going to have a big impact. If you're trying to rank for that quote, then you're probably going to have a problem with like quote sites and other places. But unless that is the topic of the page, is the quote, and if that's the topic of the page, and the only thing you're probably trying to do is rank for that quote, then you'll have an issue. But if it's not the topic of the page, it's just something you want to add for flavor and for your users, and it's on a page that's that about maybe a product or a descriptive reviews of a particular thing, then you're not going to have a problem at all because that's not what the page is about. The interesting thing that most people may or may not realize is that Google really is very, very good at segmenting an individual page into pieces. And if that quote is like up in the header or in its own little sidebar or something like that, it'll be handled separately in most cases from the rest of the content of the page. So yeah, they might see this as, this quote's all over the place, and they might disregard it, but it's not going to hurt you because that's not, that's a little teeny piece of what's on your page.
Well, and also keep in mind, this seems to cycle in the world of SEO, basic SEO anyway. It's not a penalty anyway. It's a devaluing, an algorithmic devaluing of the content. If you were trying to get the page to rank, like you said, for that quote, but your page was almost 100% a passage from that particular poem, or if that was just one component of that, I don't know anything about this, and then maybe it was a whole page from the book, well, then that's duplication, and it's not going to hurt you. It's just simply not going to rank. Or it'll be considered, okay, this is a low-quality page on your site, big deal. Let's go on to the other pages. Google isn't that.
And he has a point at the bottom of his question where he says, if this is a problem, it will affect many education websites that deal with quotes from literary sources like Shakespeare plays. Are they all going to get a penalty? And to your point about penalty, it's not a penalty of filter, but there's a big difference between an educational site talking about the author of a quote and using a quote and really trying to get ranked for that quote versus a fly fishing site that's just putting a quote on a page to add some color to the site. There's a big difference between the two, the usage of those quotes, because unless you're going to go into Sir Isaac Walton's history and the history of this quote and what he was talking about and the philosophy behind it and why art, is related to fly fishing. And if that's what you're doing, then, you're going to have a bunch of other content on there anyway. All those educational sites will have a bunch of other content on there anyway. If the quote's the only thing that's duplicated, which it probably should be, if you're really educating, you're not going to copy other people's information, then that's a very small piece of the content of the page that is not going to have an impact. It really won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thank you for the question, Craig. It's don't get me wrong. It's a good question. I know that's something a lot of people bring up. Sorry if I was short on it. I think we've heard it too many times, and it's easy to do that. it's a very good one. So the next question.
I'd like to do the one we did from, because I put it up at the top, even though it was an older question from a few weeks ago from Facebook. We actually got a good question from Facebook.
Oh, sure.
We haven't had one of those in a while because everybody's going to Google+, but we want to recognize our Facebook fans too, even though we're trying to push them to Google+. Richard Fagan, Facebook, he's like, I have a good topic for your show. I run an e-commerce site with about 10,000 plus products. We continually get product page URLs showing up in Google Webmaster Tools under crawl errors, not found items that were discontinued from our site. We can't 301 these as they may be sold again in the future. Do you have any recommendations how on other e-commerce site vendors handle this? And I thought that was a great question because really what he's saying is he's got a product that he's selling, and he wants it ranked, and he gets it ranked or crawled and indexed. He's got this page of this product, but it goes out of stock, so he can't put the product up on his website anymore because he doesn't have it in stock. He just pulls the product down. And now all of a sudden, Google's seeing this as a crawl error because they can't find the page. It's not found. But he doesn't want to 301 those as a permanent redirect because at some point he'll get it in stock again, and the product page will come back up. I've seen this many times in the past, and there's really two basic ways to handle this, depending on what you can do technology-wise. The first, from purely technology standpoint, is no, you do not want to put a 301 redirect there to like maybe the category page, because that is a permanent redirect. But this is absolutely the perfect example of usage of a 302 redirect. That's a temporary redirect. It does not remove the page from the index, but it temporarily, puts that weight on the category page or whatever. So when the item does come back in stock and that page does come back and the 302 goes away, it's already indexed, it's already there, the history is still there, and it comes back and it performs the way it would have before. So it's a perfect example of when you absolutely want to use a 302 redirect. if you can't do that from a technology standpoint, if you can't implement a 302 redirect, what you do, in my, what I recommend is you edit, you have a template that you use on your website page for products that are not in stock. And all you do is switch the template for that product, and you take away pricing, you take away the buy now button or whatever it is to actually put it in a shopping cart. And you put it something on that says temporarily out of stock, you know, check back later, but you keep the page there and just make it so they can't put it in the cart and that you indicate that it's out of stock. And that way you don't lose the rankings, you don't lose the history in Google, you don't lose the equity you build up on that page. Do you have any other thoughts, Ross? Is there other things you can do?
Yeah, one of the things I like to do, I never like to take a customer and send them elsewhere. So what we generally do when I'm working on an e-commerce site is we make sure that page they find, yes, says, sorry, we're out of stock at this moment. I give them the option to, if the functionality is there, and if it's important enough product, some things are worth the money, to add a reminder. So place your email here to be reminded when the product does come back into stock. But that's just one side benefit. The main thing I have below there is, however, maybe you may be interested in these comparable items, and they can click on those and go to them.
I think you and I are on the same page. The idea is don't take the page away. There's most likely a way to change the content of the page so that it's still indexed, it still describes the product, but it's still useful for a user in some way or another. And if for some reason you can't do that and you have to take the page down, use a 302, not a 301 redirect to go to the category level of whatever that product was in.
Yeah, 302s are so rarely used, I think, because we've almost done too good a job of pitching 301s.
Yeah, exactly. And but honestly, it's there's not too many examples of cases where 302 is the right redirect to use. And this is really a good example to let people know that it's not something you never use. It's just, you know, depending on what your situation is, it could potentially be the right solution. Just remember the big history of 301 and 302. 301 is a permanent redirect. It deletes the old page from the index and transfers all the equity to the new page, which is very useful. But a 302 is a temporary redirect to where you expect that page to come back sometimes, so you want to retain the equity on that page in search, so when it does come back, it still has strength in search.
Perfect. Nicely done. Well, thank you, Richard. It was great to have your question, and I hope you post some more. It was a good one. Well, the time has come. It's hard to believe, but the end of the show. So on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our community page on Google+. Just go to Google+ and type in SEO 101. You'll find us nice and quickly. You can also email me via ross@stepforth.com or contact John via Twitter at John Carcutt. Our show is on every Monday, should be on every Monday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on webmasterradio.fm, and we're going to do our best to get back on schedule again. Have a great week.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.